studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Robin, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Hey, what do you want to do today?
Oh, let's go biking.
Biking.
Nothing else to do, right? Whatever.
Yeah, we're only expecting like 3 to 4 inches of snow today.
Have you got snow up there?
Not yet. Do you?
No, we don't have any at all. As a matter of fact, it didn't even get cold last night. It was down, I think it got down to as low as 33 or 34 degrees. And but it's supposed to get cold tonight. Tonight, I guess, is when our snow is supposed to come. I don't know.
Well, I think that, personally, I think since the snow is late, it should be canceled and rescheduled for next year.
Oh, no. We gotta kind of, we haven't had any decent snow this year. I want a little bit.
Decent snow. I got to drive in that stuff.
Oh, that's true. You do, don't you?
And I got to throw those big, heavy chains, you know, and those things are not light.
Oh, it's not going to be that bad. Besides, won't they cancel school and everything else with just a dusting of snow? Why not that?
They don't cancel what I do. Now, if you drive
no big, such luck.
You drive big rigs, you get to play in all types of fun stuff.
That's when I think they should cancel it. Is when you're driving the big rigs. We don't need them out on the road all that snow.
People don't really realize, as a semi, when you see those big things going down the road, how easy it is to tip those things over.
God, just thanks. I really needed to know that. Lord,
it's true.
I'm really excited. I don't think I'm ready for how easy it is to tip over a big truck.
I mean, I the guy I used to work with in my last business, my last job, he tipped one over about a month ago. I mean, he got hurt. He had to be life-flighted to the hospital, but he lived to tell about it. But his truck is another story.
Wow, that's too bad.
Not that hard. When I was in North Dakota, 1 month they flipped over 6 semis.
Is that right?
But then again, in North Dakota, you're driving, up in the hills. Well, North Dakota doesn't have hills. It's kind of the reverse of hills. They're kind of indentations in the ground.
But it's also really cold and really icy and snowy and a lot more than it is here.
Yeah, they actually have an excuse there. But
because it's like what? Figuring wind chill, it's like 40 degrees below zero or something up there.
Yeah, and that's on a warm day.
Yeah, I mean, I did not envy you living there, to be honest with you.
Well, I envy what I made working in the oil patch.
Well, that might be, that's possibly true, and possibly because there might be money be made there still. Their unemployment isn't very high, is it?
Actually, it's the lowest in the nation.
I thought, Wisconsin's was, but that's okay.
North Dakota became number one lowest in the nation after they found some more oil in the Balkan.
Huh.
In fact, they were importing people from Texas because they couldn't get enough people to do it. And with the winter approaching, I suppose half of those people left and went home to where it's warmer.
Do you blame them?
No, I don't blame them at all. Most people that are born in North Dakota don't want to stay in North Dakota. Well, I was up there, the governor was so happy that more and more students had decided to stay in the state.
Yeah, I can imagine. Nobody wants to. But then, actually, I don't know. It's not that really that bad. I'm sure if once you get used to it, or do you get used to it? I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's completely different. I mean, the snow because, North Dakota is basically a desert. And so there's no moisture in the snow. And everything, when it rains, on the rare occasion that it does do our snow, is it comes from the left, not from up the sky. And you could literally clear off your driveway with a leaf blower.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean it comes from the left? There's always a wind?
Oh, always, pretty much so, yeah.
North Dakota, as a matter of fact, isn't that that's in the path of this big wind farm thing that they're talking about? There's a whole swath down through the center of the country. Swath. Down through the center of the country where there's always wind.
Can you say that on the radio?
Swath?
Yeah.
It's better than sloth. Well, swath is just a piece of something. It could be anything. It doesn't have to be land. But anyway, the point is, I saw a thing, and I don't have it up here, and I wasn't ready to talk about it, but there are people who are upset about windmills, saying that windmills are bad for your health. I'm trying to figure out how the hell windmills can be bad for your health. The only thing they could come up with is that the sound that windmills makes is disturbing and sometimes disturbs their sleep and they go batty listening to the sound. Because the windmills do make a noise.
Well, and then again, there's those kite accidents.
There's been kite accidents with windmills. If you're stupid enough to go out in a windmill farm and fly kites, I don't think I feel sad for you at all. That's ridiculous. Okay. You still have... yes, okay.
Moving right along.
Yes, let's.
Let's.
Yeah.
And on that same levity, I just kind of want to touch on, I don't know, I think it's stupid. We might have touched on this last week, I don't remember.
But, I don't think.
But we were talking about this while we're doing our show prep. What's going on in Portland, some of the crazy stuff. Of course, Portland, which is, I guess there's actually a TV series now called Portlanda.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which I haven't watched yet. And
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, I don't
know. So what's going on in Portland?
Well, in Portland, they're proposing to, because Portland, if people don't know, is the bike capital of the nation. And Eugene, of course, is trying to be, which is always trying to be Little Portland, is trying to follow in its footsteps. But they're proposing to extend TriMet's light rail bridge by adding one of the nation's largest car-free transit bridge as imagined. And what makes this bridge so special in a sense is that as you're coming off either end of the bridge on your little bicycle and you're feeling kind of good about it, next thing you know, you start hearing a little tune from Simon and Garfunkel's Feeling Groovy.
I thought that was I saw the picture of that. It looked like just like the one in Eugene. But that's in Portland, eh?
Eugene got the idea for that.
Oh,
like
figures.
I said, we don't have any original ideas anymore. We have to copy Portland.
There are no real original ideas.
Well, that's true.
Everybody copies somebody somewhere. I've decided that.
Don't perjure ourselves.
The only people that are not copying somebody was the first person to come up with the iBook or something like that, because they're not copying. Although I've had that idea, honest to you, for a long time. I thought years and years ago, I thought it would be smart to have a computer and put in a book reading software and have it embedded, have it on a chip. Don't have it software, have it built right in. So basically what it is, it would make it really, really cheap, and you could then download books, and of course, and read them or put them in there. I've always thought that was a good idea.
You're plagiarizing Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. He had it probably first,
right?
Most likely.
Well, anyway, quick little comment on this bike bridge thing here. What they're doing is that they're going to cut grooves in the cement, so as the bike tires go over, it sings a little song, and you hear, "Slow down, you move too fast." And it's part.
They're going to do that with grooves in the cement.
Yeah, because it'll act like a phonograph needle. And basically, the reason why they're doing it is because the bridge project is $1.5 billion, and
they got to have some place to spend the money.
Well, they're required to.
I know.
The agency is required that 1.5% of all projects, all civil engineering budgets, go towards art installations.
Well, that's art, huh?
That's art. I think what would be a really good art project is to adopt potholes and make them look flat.
No, I don't want to make them look flat. I want to make them flat. I'll tell you.
That's right.
That's what we there is a great art project. You take a pothole, which is just nothing more than an ugly old pothole, and you then cut it out in the form of a picture of some sort, and then fill it in with a different colored cement or blacktop or whatever, and you've got a picture in the street. And that would be art, and it would be doing a good deed at the same time.
Have you been on Highway 126 going out to Florence?
Yeah.
Lately?
No.
Okay. If we did that, the whole road would be covered in polka dots.
Yeah, I know that. But at least it would get covered, and we could use the money for something good.
And somebody probably argue over the colors. It was, I'm offended by this color of road.
Well, what we need to do is make him. We need to hire an artist to actually make the picture and make it unique. And then what happens is, as you've got it all covered up and everything, and somebody will come along and say, oh, wow, that's a really unique picture. I want that. And then they can bid for it, and they can spend huge amounts of money to cut out a big square chunk of the freeway. And then, but they will make enough money on what they pay for it to fix the freeway.
Yeah, but then somebody will say, well, we have the money budgeted for X, Y, Z, and we really don't have the money to fill back in the square we just cut out of the freeway.
So the street has to stop here.
That's right.
Can't win.
Anyway, speaking of can't win.
Speaking of can't win, you realize you haven't been invited to the National Tea Party Convention in Memphis, Tennessee on April 7th. This is the National Tea Party Convention, and they didn't send us an invitation.
How dare they?
That's very upsetting, very upsetting.
I'm totally snubbed.
They're I don't know. I feel snubbed, too. But they invited Congress.
They should have sent us then. I mean, we're media.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true. We are.
What's your address?
It's only $239.99, and I don't know what a $14.19 Eventbrite fee is, but so whatever, $250 or so.
That's probably, since everything's going green, it's going to help pay up for electricity.
And it's at the Memphis Cook Convention Center. For electricity.
Well, never mind. But we're being snubbed. I guess we just haven't had that much fame and fortune yet, but we're trying.
Well, they have time to send us something. I mean, it's not until April.
Well, okay. Well, Tea Party, send us an invitation. Yeah, we'll go. We'll broadcast live from there.
That's only, two months?
We want all expense paid round-trip tickets, too.
Of course. Yes. Of course.
And speaking of, how about if somebody wants to use an expense to give us a call, 646-721-9887, because, we got to kind of pay the bills a little bit here. And the chat room is open, krbnradio.com/krbn. Actually, it's blogtalkradio.com/krbn. That's why nobody gets us. I keep getting out the address. And you can send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to have your comments.
And you can go to krbnradio.com and click on Blog Talk Radio and get to all these places, by the way, if you want to make it easy.
And you can go to Twitter/krbnradio.com. You can go to iTunes, KRBN. We're just all over the place. In fact,
yeah.
Google us. We actually come up on one of the first, second, and thirds.
On Google or Yahoo or
exactly.
MSN or Bing.
We are. So
I haven't done it on Bing. I don't know what it does.
Now we come up about fourth.
Do you?
Yeah, we do. But we do come up.
And we, by the way, we need to say, give our condolences. There is a KRBN radio station. Actually, there's an AM and FM. The FM station is in Burney, California. And we'd like to say sorry because they went off the air in January and they're not there anymore. The station is still licensed and everything. It's just silent. So we'd like to just give them our condolences. And because of the fact that they also, you Google them and they don't come up hardly at all.
That's right. We also outdo KRBN AM in Montana. And so
they've been on here for a long time, though.
They've been on the air. But anyways, if anybody would like to make a large donation, we'll be glad to purchase a station.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go buy it and do our whole thing from there. That would be fun. That would be fun. I don't know. Do you want to live in Burney, California?
I don't think I'd want to live in California at all. Nothing against Californians, but
why don't you want to live in California?
Because it's California? I don't know.
Well, you talk about living in Arizona. Have you seen what's going on in Arizona? I wouldn't be caught dead in Arizona. and which is exactly what most of the time you would be caught as. Arizona is really in trouble.
Yeah. Well, so are a lot of states.
But Arizona more than anybody else, because they've got the double whammy of the fact that they have the budget problems, which are huge, and they also have even more so the border problems, which are even huger, if that's a word.
Huger?
Huger. I don't think it is a word, but it'll do.
Yeah.
But
anyways, I suppose we should get on to our topic.
And our topic is?
Our topic is the sobriety checkpoints that Oregon is thinking about.
Ah! Oh, sorry.
Excuse me.
Well, I am so divided on this project, on this subject, that it's just not even funny, because I think the idea of a sobriety checkpoint is absolutely horrible, and it will take a lot of your time away, and it infringes on my rights and everything else. And yet at the same time, I really want to have sobriety checkpoints, because I really, really, really despise drinking. Drinking is the root of most of the evils in our country.
That's right. In fact, I had the opportunity to not too
to
long...
drink.
No, I don't. But I had the opportunity not too long ago to visit a sobriety checkpoint and record some audio.
Oh, you're kidding?
No. Here's the tape. Roll tape.
Good afternoon, officer. What's going on with all the people and the barricades and the lights and winky blinkies and noisy sirens and...
Good afternoon, sir. Have you been drinking tonight?
What?
Sir, have you had anything to drink tonight?
No, by all means. I mean, are you offering? What are you selling? Really, I'm not that type of guy.
No. No, sir. We are currently conducting a sobriety checkpoint, and...
Gosh, no, officer. I never went to college, and I never was...
Sorry.
Good afternoon, officer. What's going on with all the people and the barricades and the lights and winky blinkies and noisy sirens and...
Good afternoon, sir. Have you been drinking tonight?
What?
Sir, have you had anything to drink tonight?
No, by all means. I mean, are you offering? What are you selling? Really, I'm not that type of guy.
No. No, sir. We are currently conducting a sobriety checkpoint, and...
Gosh, no, officer. I never went to college, and I never was a member of a sorority.
That's sobriety, sir.
No. Actually, I'm feeling pretty happy right now.
Sir, that's sobriety, not somber, as in being sad. Sir, a sobriety is a state of being sober and alert and not under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and that is why we are stopping you tonight.
Oh, a sobriety checkpoint. I get it now. Why didn't you say so? You're trying to violate my 14-minute right and detain me against my will for what the Supreme Court considers an unreasonable search and seizure.
No, sir. We are within our constitutional rights to stop your vehicle and detain you for as long as necessary to determine your state of alertness and whether you are within law to pilot your vehicle safely. Will you please step out of your vehicle, sir?
What the deuce?
Sir, I believe that you might be under the influence of alcohol, in addition to being a complete moron.
I want my mommy.
I've got a better idea.
What?
We need stupidity checkpoints. That's what we need. Okay. Not sobriety, stupidity. I mean, and the thing is... I'm afraid that even as long as that particular bit went, that the checkpoint would keep us for even longer than that. And that's the thing that gets to me. And where do they put these things?
Well, actually, I've had the pleasure, I was driving 11 Western at the time, coming out of Texas, and to go through, what they did, they actually blocked off the interstate.
Yeah.
They were checking everybody, and then, and including us, and the officer is really nice about it. But still, especially on the interstate, when you're driving a truck, as soon as you start your day, the clock is ticking. And if you run out of hours and you're still driving, you're in big trouble. And here you are, you got this big old roadblock going on, detains you for, you know, an hour just to get through the stupid thing. And next thing you know, if you don't have enough hours, you got to legally pull that truck over the side of the road. You are not allowed to move it.
Well, that's another story. That's another program.
A story, but I mean, they were really nice about what they were doing. They, you know, she crawled up on the running board and, you know, took a sniff and said, "Take a mint." No, but I mean, they're nice about it. They just asked, you know, "Have you been drinking?" And sent us on our way. But they do catch people. I mean, that's a good thing about it. But it's that catch-22 thing again, about how you're willing to be inconvenienced in order, you know, in order for safety. Now, on the other side, like Cliff was saying earlier, as I'm talking about Cliff in a third party, I, in my 20s and 30s, I used to assist with traffic accidents and road hazards, and I've done over 250 of those assists. And of some of those have been caused by drunk drivers. And when you see it firsthand like that, and see what actually happens in a vehicle accident, you know, I mean, you're right there. You're in the midst of it helping emergency personnel. And it's like,
well, then I got you beat because I was right there and it was me he hit.
Yeah.
And it was me he, this was absurd. This truck was coming at us. On the other side of the freeway, coming the opposite direction we were going, and then he veered over and aimed right straight at us.
Uh-huh.
And so I pulled over to the right to get away from him, and he continued to aim right straight at us. I pulled clear off of the highway, and he pulled clear off of the highway on the other side and hit us. And then he kept on going, but he hit us in the back. I pulled off far enough that I got away from him pretty much, but he hit the car in the back and spun it around. But and we went down after him to figure out what the heck was going on and to get a license number and try to do something about it. Unfortunately, he went on further down and hit somebody head on and killed some people, and we were right there. So that was a really kind of bad experience, and he was drinking. He had been drinking heavily. And just aimed at whatever he saw, and that's where he drove.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, we were it. So we didn't, you know, nobody in the car got hurt, unfortunately, but the car got hurt pretty bad, and so we had to replace that. He had to replace that.
Right.
But the thing is, he didn't get put in jail.
Well, and on that same token, I was assisting at an accident on the Delta over by Belly River. And we had traffic control set up, and the police were there as well. And I forget if it was just a stalled vehicle or if it was a two-car accident, but either way, you know, the lane was blocked off. And next thing that we knew, one of our other traffic control guys was yelling, "Watch out!" as this car is coming the wrong way underneath the overpass, the Washington Jefferson Street overpass on Delta, which is a blind corner, by the way. And he got past me, and he made it up to the officer, who was yelling at him, and took his flashlight and hit it against the trunk, and finally got the guy stopped. Now, what's surprising is that the license plate was like a diplomatic plate, and although the guy argued with the officer, and the officer was getting pretty mad, too, when he finally found out who he was, you know, he just like, you know, turned around and let him go. But my point is just because this guy might have special plates or be a diplomat or whatever does not make you exempt from killing people. And if he would have made it around
in this country, it does.
Yeah. If he would have made it around that blind corner, that definitely would have been a head on if somebody else was coming.
Yeah. And they would have simply probably sent him out of the country back to the country he was from. And they might not have even done that because diplomatic immunity gets really carried away. I'm not going to talk about that because I'll get mad.
Exactly. But anyway,
but I will talk about alcohol because I tell you, it's terrible. Alcohol is terrible. 30%, 32% of Oregon's 8th graders, 44% of Oregon's 11th graders drank alcohol within this past month. Now that's 11th graders and 8th graders. Hello, folks. That should have been zero.
Yeah.
I know we're never going to get it at zero, but it should have been a whole lot less than 30%. I mean, that's ridiculous. So we've got to do something about alcohol. But
I think we should also put sobriety checkpoints on the bike paths.
I think we should put sobriety checkpoints in the schools. That's what we should do. Because these kids, a lot of these kids are already hooked. They're already drinking every day at some time or another day. And you could catch them in the schools. And that's where we need to do something about it. We can't let it keep going. One-third of the U.S. drivers killed in crashes last year had a blood alcohol concentration of higher than 0.08, which is minimum.
Right. Well, in Oregon,
by the way, the bright spot is large truck drivers only had 16 estimated deaths from alcohol level above 0.08. That's a 4%, as opposed to what the rest of the country did.
Exactly. Well, truck driving, well, depending on the company, but like the companies I've worked for, if you take a beer bottle and even touch your truck, you've lost your job.
Well, that's good. I'm all for that because that's absurd. We've got all these truck drivers out there, and we have enough problem with them falling asleep, not without them being drunk at the same time.
Yeah, but that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But and I was going somewhere with all that, too.
Well, it is bad. And you know, we talk about 30% of all deaths on the highways being a part of drinking and alcohol, but there's a lot more than that too, because there's 100,000, if you get right down to 100,000 deaths each year that can be blamed on alcohol. 5% of all deaths from diseases like circulatory system are attributed to alcohol. Diseases, respiratory, 15%. Accidents caused by fire and flames, 30% of those are attributed to alcohol. And 30% of accidental drownings are alcohol. 30% of suicides are alcohol. 40% of deaths due to accidental falls are alcohol. 45% of all automobile accidents, of course, are attributed to alcohol. 60% of all homicides are attributed to alcohol. Alcohol is a horrible thing, and yet we don't do anything about it. We holler and scream and yell about smoking, and we try to get people to stop smoking, which, by the way, is a total failure. We have made huge progress with smoking, but it's still the highest cause of death there is, smoking. But alcohol is the third largest, and we do nothing about it. People, I mean, everywhere you're encouraged to drink. Every television show you're encouraged to drink. Every movie you're encouraged to drink. Your kids in school, if they drink, they're just laughed at. It's funny. And we've got to stop doing this. We've got to start discouraging it.
Well, you bring up an excellent point. I mean, Friday and Saturday night, for example, you want to go out, you want to do something. A lot of it is centered around alcohol. Like, say, for example, okay, I have some friends that are in a local band here, and they just celebrated the 28th anniversary of the band. But they play at the bars.
Mm-hmm.
And now things are getting a lot better. Since I don't drink, you know, I go in there and I, you know, get my Pepsi or Diet Pepsi or whatever, and they don't make you feel bad as they used to in the past, you know, since now we're...
Oh, boy, I can remember some stories.
Yeah, well, especially, you know, being a designated non-drinker or whatever. But so things are getting better in that regard. But the whole point is that you can't go out and do anything that isn't centered around alcohol. And some people feel that, well, okay, I'm going to go watch the band, but I'm going to the bar. If I go to the bar, I have to drink.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to support the bar. The bar won't stay there. See? That's their philosophy, but you can support it. And I don't know if it's where you are, but because I haven't been in bars for quite a while, I used to do music and things and visited them. But a lot of bars were in at least 10 years ago were really into getting this near beer or non-alcoholic drinks, and they were selling a lot of those.
Yeah,
not enough of them, but they were selling a lot of them. So you can support the bar without getting drunk.
That's true.
My point. I assume they still do that.
Well, and some do have good foods. Anyways, 30 minutes after the hour, 646-721-9887. We have a guest in the chat room. Welcome. And if you'd like to join us, please give us a call, 646-721-9887, if you have any stories, if you have any opinions. Have you ever been stopped in a sobriety checkpoint, and how do you feel about that?
That's the thing. You know, you're stopped whether you're sobriety or sober or not, and there's no way around it. And granted, I suppose sometimes if they just smell your breath and there's no, you know, obviously nothing on your breath, but what if you just drank or cleaned your mouth with mouthwash? That's 80% alcohol. And there's lots of ways you can get stuck. And what do they do? How long does this take? What kind of huge pileups is it going to make on the freeways, or on the freeways? Or do they go? Now, see, like with your truck, generally they make every truck pull over at a certain place, and they could check you there anyway.
Well,
but
they had the whole freeway blocked off in both directions. And
see, that's
it was the interstate, which really surprised me.
That's ridiculous, because if I'm going somewhere and I'm late, let's say I'm late to a particular meeting or late to my wife's having a baby or late to my job and got fired because of their set checkpoint, you can't sue the state. I think we should be able to in a case like that.
Well, like they say, too bad, you know. That's part of the argument, you know, is like the Fourth Amendment the sobriety checkpoints being an exception to illegal search and seizure, because you know, you're being stopped, as one might say, doing the research, as one person referred to it, you know, the Nazis stopping you and asking for your papers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they stop you, they ask you, they can ask you anything they want to once they got you stopped. And
that's the thing. They can search every bit of your car and try to find things. And if they think that there's something there, or we just if they don't like you or whatever. And you can't have this happening, because there's too many instances in our society today. Being able to drive from one place to another is imperative. Our society doesn't like to use mass transit. And everybody is kind of blocking mass transit. Nobody wants to fund mass transit. And so everybody wants the roads to be built better, and everybody wants to have their own car and go there themselves. Well, the problem with that, of course, is now you're going to be stopped by the sobriety checkpoint and kept and delayed and the whole works. And that's you can't do anything about it. And you've got to be able to do something about it.
Well, yeah, the other point is that I don't know what the percentages are of people that drink and drive, but again,
30%.
So for 60-70% of the people are going to be inconvenienced. However, that inconvenience could save a life.
Actually, I should rephrase that, because it's 30% that die because of it. There's probably a lot bigger number, so we don't know how many actual people are driving out there that are having 8.08 or higher. Some of them get away with it, and that's bad.
Well, let me tell you a little story. We were out. We went and saw the, you know, previously mentioned band, and I've, being the non-drinker, always get stuck of being the designated driver. Fun. And I just dropped off one of my passengers, and we're coming back out. And the police had, I don't know what they had a little roadblock going on, or anyways, 2-3 different police cars. This is like about 2 o'clock in the morning. They had somebody stopped and people sitting out. So we drove by them once, so I could, because where my passenger's house was a couple blocks down. Of course, when I came back out, they saw me again and decided, okay, we're going to check this car out. And they pulled me over. Now, I still have a passenger in my car, and of course, you can smell the alcohol. Which, you know, the officer is going, you know, have you been drinking and driving? And no, I'm the designated driver, but I had to take the sobriety test.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. I'm all for it. But we need to do it somehow or another without obstructing everybody. I realize this is almost all going to be a moot point very shortly. Do you realize there that in New York, gasoline is already at $4 a gallon? I told you we were going to get there this year, and maybe even five. And I think we may make the five. So it's going to be less and less of a point at this particular point.
Well, I don't know. I mean, just like when it was $5 a gallon, you know, people
never was. Has never been $5 a gallon in this country.
You haven't been in North Dakota.
Okay.
But
they make it there. Why is it so high there? It should be cheap.
You'd think so. Well, we pump it out of the ground there, but even, but in either case, the whole point is, are you willing to go along with it, be detained? Is there also a possibility, because I remember back when we had these sobriety checkpoints here in Oregon, in fact, I think it was, let me check my notes here, I think it was 1987.
87? It's been that long ago?
Yeah, I got on a different page. When they Oregon ruled it unconstitutional, that I remember at the Halt Center that they were setting up checkpoints, and they were checking for more than just drunk driving. You know, they're also checking, you know, make sure you're insured, make sure you're wearing your seatbelt. Of course, now make sure you're not using your cell phone.
It's getting really carried away. I want to make one little point before I talk about being carried away, because I mentioned how the 8th graders and the 11th graders are all drinking. Cigarette and marijuana smoking are down among the Oregon middle and high school students, but alcohol remains the same. And in 8th graders, it has increased by 28%. So our younger kids are starting to drink more and more and more, and nobody's doing anything about it, obviously. I mean, there's got to be carrying this into school. Like, you can't drink and get drunk the night before and go to school and not have some sort of a indication, and we've got to start doing something about it. But
well, like what?
Well, we've got to start working on the parents. That's what we've got to do.
Well, the possibility is that the parents probably drink, too. There's probably alcohol.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
So, you know, the kids see what the parents are doing. It's kind of like when I was growing up about smoking. I've never smoked. But, you know, both my parents did. And, you know, they always say that, don't do this. It's bad for you. You know.
See, I was one of those that did do it because my parents did it. And I actually, I'm going to make you laugh. I didn't inhale, but I did puff on cigarettes because that's what everybody was doing at that time.
I feel your pain.
Cigarettes, not marijuana. But anyway, and then I discovered that this is stupid because they're expensive. I got caught stealing it from my mother and got yelled at and on and on and on. So it just wasn't worth the time and effort that I had to put into it to do something that I didn't want to do in the first place. And same with drinking. Of course, I never have drank either. One time in my life and got sick and decided, hell with that. I just don't need to be sick trying to do something that I don't like.
Exactly.
So,
well, cigarettes, I did try it once. You know, like I said, both my parents did. In fact, cigarettes took my mother's life. You know, because she's a 3-4-pack-a-day smoker and tried
Ooh.
To and went, I don't understand the big deal. This is awful. Yuck. And drinking, I tried one beer and go, this tastes like unleaded gasoline and figured.
Yeah, really?
They said, well, it's a taste you have to acquire. And I said, if I have to acquire it, I don't want it.
I had a travel time. I went to Germany. And, of course, supposedly German beer is the best there is. And everybody kept trying to get me to try this and try that. And I won't tell you what I think it tastes like because I shouldn't know. But it's still... It's horrible stuff. Horrible. Like you say, it tastes like gasoline.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to do it. And in Germany, it just tastes like ethyl gasoline. So that's supposed to be better, I guess.
You go around and try different types of gasoline, see what it tastes like?
What I think gasoline would taste like, let's put it that way. Yeah, I have tasted gasoline. Yes, I have tasted gasoline. There have been times when, a couple of times in my life, where I literally siphoned gasoline out of a vehicle. Now, mind you, it was my own vehicle. I wasn't stealing it.
Per se. If you wanted something that leaves a taste in your mouth, try diesel.
Oh, really? I haven't done that. I haven't done
Anyways.
That.
Now, getting back to sobriety, currently 11 states prohibit the checkpoints, and Oregon is one of them, but House Bill 3133 is being proposed to change that.
Maybe. Well, you know, and like I say, I just don't know how to handle this, because I think it's a great idea having checkpoints. I think it's a great idea keeping people from drinking, but it's not logical. It's not acceptable, because it hinders too many people. It does more harm than it does good. Granted, I had some statistic here somewhere that I can't find, but it supposedly it does save significant amount of lives a year to keep the drinkers off the road, but not enough. Not enough. I'm sorry.
And to throw this question out there, what are the rules or the laws pertaining to conducting a checkpoint? Where can you
They have to be made. I mean, you know, that's part of what this law, I assume, would be. I mean, they'll make up the laws as they go. They do that for everything else.
Make the laws up as they go.
Yeah, don't they? I mean, if it doesn't fit what you want, you pass another law. Take care of it. That's what Congress does, local or state or national. They just, okay, I don't like this, so, or somebody calls in and says, oh, gee, this is terrible, so let's pass a law. So they do. That's all they do is pass laws.
If that's all they're going to do, then I have a suggestion for a law.
What?
That Senator David Wu not wear a tiger suit in public.
I'll go along with that. I'll go along with that. I'll definitely go along with that. I don't know.
Trust me, it's not pretty.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's what they do. That's what our Congress does. That's what their job is to make laws. The thing is, we need to make their job getting rid of laws, too. I mean, they've got to expire. That's back to my expiration point. Not exclamation, but expiration point. They've got to go away. You can't just keep adding laws and laws and laws. And we've been doing this for how many hundreds of – well – we're not that old, but how many years have we been passing more and more and more laws, and they're just still on the books. And we can reach back and grab one and get you for almost anything. You can be put in jail for anything. You can be put in. Now they're talking about wanting to be put in jail for poor eating habits. Now that's crazy.
Yeah, that's Michelle Obama's, I guess, doing.
You know, speaking of Michelle Obama, I've got a little theory here that I'm a little bit worried about, more than maybe just a little bit worried about. Obama came from where? Illinois, right? He did all of his major things in Illinois. Don't know if he grew up in Illinois. He grew up around different places, but spent the last few years of his life in Illinois. And, of course, Michelle is from there, too. And if you think about it, what is probably the most corrupt city in the world is Chicago. And they allow everything to happen. And the whole Illinois area is I think, that way. And I'm really a little upset that we've got that whole philosophy and lifestyle now in the White House, because we now got both Michelle and Obama and Barack are trying to control our lives, and they're doing it Chicago style, and I'm very upset about that.
I can tell.
I really think it's, well, of course, I've got a real problem with Obama now. I voted for him, and I thought he could do okay, but he's done nothing right since he got into office.
Well, anyways, while you were talking, I was trying to find the what has been going on, Eugene, speaking of police crackdowns, is there's been a nationwide crackdown on cell phone usage. And, of course, Eugene Police has a two-week, I'm not going to say the word sting, but it's something similar to it, where they are setting up areas looking for people in violations. And this is on the radio. I was trying to find the actual article on it, where they, during one day of their crackdown, they cited over 200 people for violations ranging from talking on the cell phone, not wearing a seatbelt, not having the kids strapped down, etc.
Well, see, there's so many things. I mean, we're not this business. You can't. The federal government is really becoming very intrusive into our personal lives, and this is just, that's got to change. And that's one of the things that's going to happen. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not sure which, but think about it. The Republicans are now, they're not really in charge. They do have a point of where they can do something, at least at this particular time. And what's going to happen is they're going to go in and clean up some of the things that Obama has put into position. And because of that, he's going to come out smelling like a rose and possibly could get elected next in 2012. At this particular point, things going exactly like they are, it's almost impossible for him to get elected. But things have got to get better. And just like back in Clinton's day, it's going to be the Republicans that are going to clean things up, and it's going to be the Democrat that gets credit for it, which is a little upsetting, but we still have to clean things up.
Okay, here's pretty much the article on this. This is from the Register Guard, the Eugene newspaper. It says nearly 100 police agencies in Oregon will put more officers on the road for 2 weeks this month using federal grant money to increase traffic patrols. And what they're looking for is people who use cell phones behind the wheel or do not follow the state's move over laws. And of course, locally, they're looking for a few other things too. In 2010, police agencies in Oregon shared almost $1 million in federal grant money to pay officers who participate in the statewide traffic safety campaigns and various local educational events. So the point is, although I'm not saying that it's particularly a bad thing, but when we are having money issues and we don't have enough officers for our own safety, and yet they're coming up with these little roadside inspections, I'll say, you know, where they're taking people off doing their duties to do the same thing. Where does the money come for the sobriety checkpoints? You know, how many officers? Well, the one that I went through, I mean, there's probably about 24 officers there, not to mention, you know, what it cost in setting up the area, putting the cones out, you know. These things aren't cheap. But
how much money did you say they got for it?
Just under $1 million, $929,072 in federal grant money.
See, okay, that's fine. There are 50 states, right? And if you give each one of them $1 million to do this,
depends
that's 50. Huh?
It depends who you ask.
About what?
About how many states there are. But anyways, continue.
Oh, I won't get into that. Yes, I agree. But basically, that's $50 million. And it's so absurd because, you know, we're talking about where does the money come from? And we talk about this. And as far as I'm concerned, the defense budget is where the money should come from. The defense budget is $500 million. It's actually more this year. And every year, they let it go up by 6-point-some-odd percent, almost 7%. So we could take that 7% and fund all states. Just don't increase the Defense Department budget. And, of course, the Defense Department budget is only a portion of what is actually spent on defense. When you get right down to it, we spend $1 trillion on defense every year. And that's just insane, just totally insane. We could take 25% of that away, still get along without any trouble at all, and solve an awful lot of our problems, because 25% of $1 trillion is what, $250 billion or something like that? It's a huge amount of money.
Anyways, 11 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. It's kind of interesting too. The question is, how often can police conduct these sobriety checkpoints? And I have kind of a list here from the this is from the GHSA, which is the Governor's Highway Safety Association, which gives a list about how many times they can do it. It's kind of interesting that some of them range from once or twice a month to actually several hundred per year.
Several hundred?
Several hundred per year. They could just set up a building and put a booth like they do with way stations that, you know, you're going to drive down this road. Oh, hey, guess what? You're going to meet some people in uniform.
You know, interestingly enough, I would prefer that because you know it's going to be there. You know you're going to be stopped. What I don't like is the fact that I leave at 10 o'clock to go to work and I have to be to work at 10:30 and I drive 50 miles and all of a sudden there's a checkpoint there. And wasn't there last week or last month or whatever. They just decided to put it there. And I'm stuck. I don't get to work.
Exactly. Well, in some companies, one of the international companies I used to work for as a technician, if you are 1 minute late, you got 2 points. And if you accumulate, I think it was 24 points, you're out of a job. And it's a no-fault system. So it didn't matter why you were late.
Exactly, exactly.
The bridge could have blown up, and you're still late, and you still get points.
That's it. But at least the bridge is not going to blow up every week or every month.
Well, I'd hope not. But the whole point is that if they set it up like a way station at regular intervals or regular locations, people are just going to drive around them, and it kind of takes away the whole point. So I guess the whole point really is, number one, is it really a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights to stop people, set up roadblocks and actually stop people? But on the other side of the coin, is it worth saving a life for your inconvenience?
Okay, and I'm going to be really crass and say no, it's not worth it. We're not saving enough lives to make it worth it. I'm sorry. That's just all there is to it. If we were saving hundreds of thousands of lives, that would be one thing. But I don't think we are. I like the idea because I know this is kind of scary, leaving things in the mind of the officer, let's put it that way, because the officers can drive down the road and they can tell if it looks like somebody's is inebriated or whatever you want to call it, and pull them over, and one at a time. And this is not an ideal situation, but I think it does enough to keep the people. What we need to do is perhaps increase the amount of officers who we have out there checking for this and give them a little better training, maybe. I don't know. I think they have actually very good training to discern who's been drinking and who hasn't while they're driving. But to just stop everybody carte blanche is just insane. It's just, it can't be done, and we can't allow it to be done. And it just puts too much a strain on the entire society, on everyone. And there comes a point where, like I say, our society is a driving society. We don't take mass transit. And I also think we should just kind of accept the fact that that's what it's going to be, and kind of get rid of some of this mass transit stuff and make more roads, fix the roads, do something about it. And I was talking the other day about putting overhead transit system. Okay, no. Let's put overhead highways. Let's just build another layer on top. They did this in Seattle. They've got double-decker freeways and highways and things. Let's just put another layer on top, and then we can double the amount of traffic we have going on in the roads, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, but where's that money going to come from?
Same place that they were going to build it for the buses. Use that money instead. I'm all for mass transit. I like mass transit, and where it works, I use it a lot. But nobody likes it except me. You know, maybe a couple people like it, but most people want to get in their car and be able to go there. And nowadays, we're coming up with these electric cars that only go 40, 50 miles. Actually, the new Ford goes 100 miles. Now, that, I think, is actually a useful car, an electric car, because within 100 miles, I could go almost everywhere I go within 100 miles and run on electricity. But 40 miles, I couldn't. So that makes sense. But the point is, you're still in a car, and you need highways to be in a car. And believe me, in Eugene, you do need highways. Even the ones that are there aren't highways anymore. They're just...
Excellent.
Bunches of
I'm going to kind of throw this out here. This is from a website called GetMad, GetMadd.com.
Okay, the mad people.
Well, no, this is actually not the mad people, but they're talking about the mad. So I'm...
Well, MADD is Mothers Against Drunk Drivers.
Exactly, and this is called GetMad.com. So it's not their website, but it's somebody commenting about them. So I'm going to just give credit to them. But they're bringing up the point that they're making, so I can't guarantee the accuracy of this. They said MAD is lobbying Congress for more money to expand subsidies to the local police. The goal is to stop 93 million motorists each year. In the future, we may see real efficiency, single-officer revolving checkpoints.
You know what I'd rather see? If we're going to do things like this, I'd rather see us make a law saying that you have to blow into something in your car, or your car could detect whether you're drunk or not. That's the place to do it, is the actual vehicle itself. And they have that already.
Well, yeah, actually, that would not be a bad idea if having a sensor, because they got sensors now in some cars that will detect if you're getting tired. If it detects the presence of alcohol in the air, it could go ahead and...
Exactly. You realize, of course, that means that nobody in the car could be inebriated. I mean, everybody would have to be sober.
That's right.
The car wouldn't start, which is fine with me, too, because I'm all for prohibition. I like prohibition, and prohibition did work. I mean, think about it. Where was the only place where prohibition didn't work? Chicago.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. In a way, I can see the checkpoints being a good thing.
No.
On the other side of the coin, because I know how things work. Once things get started, you know, like they'll say, okay, we're stopping you for, we're going to check to make sure that you're not drinking. Oh, by the way, sir, you have a burned out taillight. Oh, gee, you know, we got to pull over and check the rest of your papers. You know,
where
does it go from there?
I agree.
That's my biggest fear about the whole thing is just that once something like that gets started, all it takes is, you know, somebody saying that, we need to check to make sure that that child is safely buckled into that child's seat or you're not smoking in the car, which is something that somebody else has been proposing. You know, just more things to limit your freedom.
Yeah. And where does your freedom begin and where does mine begin?
I mean, one thing to be stopped by or slightly inconvenienced, you know, you roll down your window, you know, good afternoon, ma'am. We're just conducting sobriety checkpoint, and have you been drinking? Okay, fine, you can be on your way. But, you know, it doesn't...
They're not going to believe that. They're not going to accept that.
Well, if they don't smell or, you know, they know what to look for. But if they don't smell anything, they don't see, you know, your eyes aren't bloodshot. Of course, around here in Oregon, because of hay fever in the Valley of Death, as Willamette Valley is called.
Well, I'm having shots in my eyes, and so consequently, it's probably put me to death.
Probably so.
Because they're really bloodshot.
2 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887. Still time to get a phone call in if you would like to comment on this. Or we can talk for two more minutes. It's up to you.
Well, there isn't much time, but I've actually changed my... I've made a decision on this whole thing. And that's the sobriety checkpoints are absolutely not acceptable under any circumstances, no matter how they do it. And that's just all there is to it, because it's way too disruptive and for everyone. There are some people that will disrupt it, which is good, but far more the larger majority of people would be really inconvenienced, and that's not necessary. We don't need to do that.
Okay, and since we're doing the Siskel and Ebert thing here, I feel that sobriety checkpoints actually can be a benefit if they are tightly regulated and are ran like their whole intention of just looking for drunk driving and not taking anything else.
It's just that when you do it to everybody, when you stop everybody, it's going to back up traffic no matter what.
That's true.
See, if you just do it like they do it now and they can see somebody weaving or acting funny or doing whatever, that's okay, because it's a little easier to pull them over and stop them without stopping absolutely everybody. But there's just not enough officers on the road to stop every vehicle at any particular point.
Well, the next thing is electronic surveillance, which we're already getting anyways, you know, the speed cameras. And...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that we have the technology to peek into your car and tell if there's booze or not electronically from a distance.
Well, the systems can record, check your driver's license digitally, I mean your plate license, and I suppose they saw you weaving for whatever. Who knows?
Oh, they could do a little bit, but yeah, I'd rather train the officers and be a little more responsive to the officers' opinions.
Well, and that's my point here, is that the money that went for these checkpoints, you know, or for this recent thing, the almost $1 million in Oregon, I'd rather see it fund more officers out on the street.
Absolutely. Bye.
If you like today's show, please let us know by visiting us on Facebook and clicking on the like button. You can also get show updates on Twitter and on our website at www.krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.